Catherine, I heard you moved again because you're a nomad.
I did. Apparently. I'm just incapable of staying in one place for more than 4 months. What can I say? Maybe I moved cross country this time, though. That's a lie. I didn't do that.
I think it just sounds like you're avoiding arrest.
Something like that. I mean, I moved two buildings over, so if I'm trying to avoid arrest, I didn't do a very good job of it, especially since the cops literally came to my door yesterday. So
it's like, why would the murderer move two doors down? Like,
just throw them off a little bit. It's because that's not what they think I'm going to do. They think I'm going to move far away. You know, it's like reverse psychology, right?
I'm sure it's paying off in dividends.
Like, so much.
I can't wait.
So much.
Big ups to our listeners, because this is wild. We've grown, Catherine.
We have.
We've grown.
Do we dare I say have a following?
I think we have a following, and it's mildly frightening. It's a little.
It's quite like, wow. Frightening. Yeah. It's amazing what people find us.
it's kind of wild. Like, what if we do live shows? You know, like, what are we? You know, we could have a show in Atlanta. That'd be cool.
I don't think we're at that yet, but that would be a fun concept.
Here's our top places, our top listenership.
So these are the places we have to do live shows.
Minneapolis.
Sounds like we're going to Minneapolis.
Minnie loves us. San Antonio, Texas. Virginia Beach. Unknown is what the analytics say.
Love that. Somewhere in the void.
Dallas, Texas.
Heyo.
I'm assuming Salem, Oregon. I feel like there's more than one.
I think there are a few Salems, yeah.
There's a few Salems. Let's assume it's Oregon.
Well, there's a Salem in Northeast, right?
Yes. Yes.
No. Massachusetts? No. Yes. Massachusetts, maybe?
I don't know, but shout out to all the Salems. Air horn sounds. To Boston. All the people in Boston. Fucking awesome.
I hate all these accents.
I'm so sorry.
If you're going to do an accent, you have to do an accent for every single one, not just a couple.
What is a Salem accent?
Well, it depends on which Salem we're talking about.
She's a witch! You know, just, oh, God. I don't know. I have no idea. So please like and subscribe and leave a 5-star review on Apple iTunes. We have 2. Let's see if before the end of this year we can get to 3.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
That would be wild.
That'd be so wild.
We got 3 from another Paris Hilton fake account. Like,
that's the dream, honestly.
I don't know. Some news. Let's do we begin heavy or light?
Let's start with heavy and then we lighten it up.
All right, Kobe Bryant's dead. Yeah. He died in a fucking helicopter crash.
Yeah.
And it was a day after I proposed to my girlfriend, who is now my fiance.
There's a lightness.
Yeah, there's some lightness. And then the next day we were just chilling and like Kobe Bryant said, I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm. I was at work. And I kept getting like ESPN notifications and stuff like that about Kobe
you're a
Bryant,
big
but I wasn't
fan.
Shut up. So I was reading all of them. I just kept seeing stuff about Kobe Bryant, but I was at work, so I didn't read any. I wasn't, like, reading the headlines or anything.
Yeah.
And then I kept seeing, and then I got off work, and, like, everyone on Twitter was like, rip. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I couldn't believe it. And he was the way a lot of people have talked about him that I know, that he was my Michael Jordan growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, this dude was unbelievable. Like, no other basketball player, I think, very few, could drop 81 points in a fucking game and score like the majority of the points for their team, putting the team on their back. Like, this guy was a fucking genius and a monster on and off the court. The dude was quite a leader and inspiration and a cultural icon of the 2000s and even the 90s and now.
Right.
So it's really wild to know that he's gone. On the light side, Reba is coming back to TV If that's quite the segue.
I mean, it's perfect too, since this week we're doing country music. Country so it's music. Only 15. And like I told you when, like I told Jason when he told me this news, I watched so much Reba when I was younger. So much. It was always on TV. So
I have quite a lot to say about country music.
Do you? So do you really?
I don't, but. Since this is your episode, Catherine... Oh, before we segue, what's annoying you this week, Catherine?
What's annoying me right now is the fact that I haven't unpacked a lot yet, and so I don't know where anything is. I've had to be very creative the past few days.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
So that's what's annoying me today.
Awesome.
Because I don't know where anything is.
Time to segue us, Catherine.
Oh, boy. Does it have to be an actual segue, or can I just say it?
I think you can say it. But if you want it to be fun, you know.
Well, maybe I'm not a fun person, Jason.
But you know what is fun?
Talking about the 2000s.
Woo! Cue music.
Nailed it.
You just gotta catch those alley-oops. You gotta catch them.
Did you perchance listen to the one from last week?
I did.
Did you like how I did the intro?
I did. I thought it was pretty hilarious.
I thought
pretty
so too.
Fucking good.
I was laughing good. The whole time while I was doing it.
You piece of garbage. It was very good.
Good.
So this week, Catherine, really just Catherine, we'll be talking about just country music of the 2000s.
And then Jason will be complaining.
I will be bitching. And so I did experience some country fever this past Grammys.
You did.
Billy Ray Cyrus was, of course, doing Old Country Road with Lil Nas X.
Yes.
And he just shows up and like people are like really cheering him on. And I was just like, this guy is a leech. This guy hasn't had a fucking song since like, what was that one song he did?
My Achy Breaky Heart.
Yeah, the only fucking song.
That's the only song I know by him.
The only song. Yeah. And someone, I don't know if someone at work had mentioned him as like an icon in music. And I was just like, to what degree? To making
Miley Cyrus become what she is.
Yeah, literally his kid is way better than him.
Yeah, that's his legacy.
What the fuck?
Yeah, not an achy breaky heart.
He paints his whole beard. His beard should be gray.
Oh my God.
He dyes his beard. Yeah. It's really gross.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just like, one, props to him for latching on to this kid in this fucking song and just being like, I'm going to ride this wave.
Oh yeah. I mean, is that not what he did with his daughter?
Yeah,
Hannah Montana, the TV show.
The show, like, come on. Yeah. Like the dude's really good. The dude's really good at that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about country music in the fucking 2000s, Catherine.
All right.
What was that like?
So I went through quite a bit of research. One thing I'd really like to talk about is how music kind of changed in how country music changed in the 2000s. Because yes. It's really when country it changed from less traditional to much more of that pop country that we hear so much today. It was when that change finally kind of started to take place. So
you started hearing it more on the radio.
Yeah, it became much more prevalent on the radio with like new artists coming in. Like Taylor Swift was a huge one. Like she's a huge part of what made country what it is today. And I think that's, you know, very significant. But to start with, I'm going to go through a list I found CMT released their top 40 country songs of the decade. Mm-hmm. I'm not going through the whole list because, frankly, I don't care about a lot of the list. I'm sharing my favorites from it.
Yeah.
And the ones that I think are the most significant and should be talked about. Mind you, when I say what I think, This is purely my opinion, and it's an extremely biased list. If you don't agree with me, that's cool, but, like, fight me, I guess. So I'll start at number 40 because it's a song that is quite iconic for a number of reasons. Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy by Big and Rich.
I have no idea what the fuck that is. I know who Big and Rich is, but I do not know that song.
Yes, it's a pretty big song from the 2000s. Honestly, it's one that, like, if you didn't listen to country, you probably don't know what it sounds like, but it was quite iconic. I mean, the cultural impact.
I don't know. It's just when I see white people in cowboy hats, I just imagine to myself, you gotta let go of the past, man.
Yeah, well,
you gotta let that go.
We'll get more into that when we start talking about how country music evolves. So,
oh man,
number 37, "Stay" by Sugarland.
Oh, I know Sugarland.
You know Sugarland. Most people do. Know Sugarland. That's the thing. I think that's also when country music became more mainstream in the sense that if you don't listen to country music, there are still a lot of artists or songs on here that everyone is going to know because they became that huge. Like, I think this was one of those decades when, like, country music became that. Like, a lot of these songs, not everyone is going to know if you didn't listen to country, but some of them, if you don't know it, I don't know what to tell you because you've been under a rock. So, number 33, Cowboy Take Me Away by the Dixie Chicks. This is purely, I purely mention this because I love the Dixie Chicks and I will promote literally any music that they have. And this, I actually think, was the only Dixie Chicks song on their list, which I find offensive, but it is a good song. So the next one, so that was number 33. The next one, number 32, is one of those songs that most people have heard, whether or not you listen to country, because this was a huge radio song that's still on the radio. Forever and For Always by Shania Twain.
Yes. So yeah. That woman has hits, you know.
So many hits.
You heard it on so many places, mm-hmm. you know. It really broke out of, like, just being a country song. It was just like...
Exactly. It became very, like, adult contemporary, yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very modern, very pop, and everyone... liked it, you know. Like, I don't like country, but Shania Twain.
That happened, you know. I feel, especially with a lot of the female artists of this decade, is a lot of the female artists especially were really able to break into that adult contemporary kind of classification and really get that music out there. So the next one is another artist that everyone should know, at least have heard of. Number 31, What Hurts the Most by Rascal Flatts.
Oh my god, I fucking hate that band. That's a band that's so fucking stupid.
Oh yeah, but they were huge in the 2000s and country music and otherwise.
They,
like,
were massive.
They were the boy band of 2000s country music.
They were huge. Yeah. It was disgusting.
I mean, Life is a Highway. Everyone knows that song. Everyone.
They were winning Grammys like crazy. Oh yeah. I remember that. Oh, they were nominated big time.
They were massive. And am I wrong or are they still making music?
They're still making music. Yeah. But so here's my thing with male country is that everyone looks like they shop at Kohl's and wears Wrangler jeans. Everyone, there's one attire.
You're totally right. Like, if you lined up a bunch of male country singers in front of me, I wouldn't be able to tell you who is who. They all look identical to me.
They look the same.
Yeah. I know.
Count the pickup trucks in that concert. Yeah. Count the pickup trucks.
Oh my God, yeah. So next up. Again, another song everyone should know. Number 27, Our Song by Taylor Swift. We've been through this. I'm not going to get into it, but everyone knows the song. Taylor Swift, yes. If you've listened to our podcast, you know our thoughts.
I know.
Number 25, a personal favorite, Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood.
Was that after he fucking cheated on her what's her name?
Honestly, probably, because
Gwen Stefani.
Oh yeah, so I love that song though. It's one of my favorite subgenres, which is basically like female rage. That's one of my favorite subgenres of country.
Blake Shelton is the worst. That guy. Yeah, I'm not a fan. Actual trash.
I'm not a fan.
That guy's actual trash.
Number 22, a nice fun one, "Chicken Fried" by Zac Brown Band. Are you familiar with this one?
I am not familiar with the song. I'm familiar with the band because I've heard
Let me play a little bit of it for you.
Oh my god, I don't. But it's filled with love that's grown in southern ground. And a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night. This is why there's an obesity epidemic in this country. It's because of songs like this shit.
It's a nice, fun song, you know? I'm a huge fan. So the next song, another one of those female artists who really, like, managed to get that song out there is Breathe by Faith Hill. Yeah.
If I could just breathe.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
See, another iconic country song that, like...
It is iconic. Mm-hmm. That song I can support. And also, exactly. I've heard it in every mall alive. It's in every mall playlist.
Yeah. One thing that I, like, I have to say, like, I always have to try and tell people with country music is that, like, I would say I like country music, but it's very... I'm very, very particular. I don't like most of it. It's just more of the sense that it's like there is country music that I like and enjoy, but I'm so picky about it. And that's why, like, when everyone's like, oh, all of country is awful, it's a terrible genre, I'm like, I guarantee you there is at least one country song that exists that you like. You just, like, don't want to admit it as a genre.
Is she still married to Tim McGraw?
I have no idea. I've never kept track of her like that, ever.
Because they were a hot couple.
Yeah, I no idea. Google that. next song, another Rascal Flatts at number 12, Bless the Broken Road. Again, they were huge. Like, you can't talk about country in the 2000s without discussing Rascal Flatts. That could have been a song about
infrastructure in this country.
Honestly.
Bless the Broken Road.
Honestly.
Potholes.
This song was written about Atlanta because, like, all the roads are garbage.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Potholes everywhere. Like,
it's like D.C.
Oh, no, it's worse.
It's worse than D.C.?
It's worse. It's really bad.
I don't believe that, dude.
It's really bad. It's just like a known fact
going
that
the roads
here are awful.
I've seen them patch up potholes, and then a few months later, they have to patch it up again. And they don't patch it up until it's like
half the time
a
they
5 foot deep.
Yeah, I was going to say, half the time they don't patch it up here, so.
At some point, there will be a sinkhole in the tunnel I take to work.
Yeah, well, there's a huge backup. There's a huge backup on the road I live near like a couple months ago because there was a hole in the middle of the road, and they had to shut the whole road down.
I'm not visiting you.
People took, like, hours to, like, get home and stuff. It was bad. So, next song, one of my personal favorite artists, who I still listen to. She pops up on my release radar all the time now, because apparently she's been putting out more music. The House That Built Me, Miranda Lambert, at a number 11.
Miranda Lambert, wow. I have not heard that name in a long
time.
She's
still making music. She has a lovely song that made me, she has a lovely song that came out recently that I'm super into called Tequila. And the chorus goes, "You don't love me like tequila does." It's a great song.
That sounds like my theme song.
Exactly. I heard that song and I'm like, wow, Jason would like this.
Wow, this is literally my theme.
Let me send it to you.
Oh my god. Miranda Lambert.
Yes. So, number 10, you're going to hate this, but again, it was so iconic, I have to mention it. Need You Now by Lady Antebellum. I know you hate that song, and honestly, I'm also kind of sick of it, but it was such a huge song. Like, I can't not say it.
Lady Antebellum, that song is like, it sounds like a Chainsmokers song. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like, and it's fucking trash. That song was everywhere in, I think it came out 2009, 2010.
Yeah, it was like late 2000s.
It was late 2000s because
it was really where the pop started coming in.
I was in high school and that song was everywhere. Yep. It would play after train. When the train would come on, they'd play that song.
Yep.
It was just that pattern of trash.
Oh, yeah. All right, so the next one, number 8, You Belong With Me by Taylor Swift. Again.
Classic.
Another classic. You can't fight
another
it.
Classic.
Like, you're like, yep.
Classic. I can't
yeah,
fight it.
That's super valid. Like, if there were any two Taylor Swift songs to be on this album, I'm glad that it was these two.
No, yeah, these are perfect.
So number 4, another one that, like, everyone should know, whether or not you're into it. You know this song, Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood.
That's a meme.
It's it's such an iconic part of, like, pop culture.
I love that country music is kind of it kind of like helps perpetuate like the culture. It like blends in with like Christianity a lot.
It does.
So I'm like, what if there was a like a country artist that was like a Jewish or a Muslim or a Buddhist?
Yeah, it's very country. It's very rural. It's very white, and it's very like it's very traditional, very patriotic,
very nationalist.
Yes,
I feel it.
Yeah.
A lot of open roads. I can't see a country artist in, like, Chicago. You know, like, I, I don't see that. It's always in some open, in the middle of nowhere, no Wi-Fi road.
Right.
Yeah.
So, number two, which is the last one I wrote down because I don't care about number one, is That's Hurt by Johnny Cash.
That is a cover.
So I know, but I it was on this list by CMT.
I mean, his cover. And was released in the 2000s.
They this put it number two, so if you have beef, talk to CMT about it.
So, not me. What's number one? What's number one?
I'd have to look it up again because
I'm really curious. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Like, what is the number one hit of the 2000s? I'm really curious. I'm sure people who are listening can tell I really love country music.
You're such a huge fan.
I cannot tell you how much of a I just don't like it. Please email me. I feel like this is the episode where I get hate mail. Okay. Like, this is it. This is the one episode.
So number one is Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning by Alan Jackson.
The fuck is that?
Exactly, right? What? Well, Alan Jackson, so he was one of the really big like country artists in the beginning that was like very traditional.
Okay.
So I didn't really super listen to him. He's on here a few times.
Who the fuck is this guy?
I didn't particularly care for him. That's not
Garth Brooks.
So I didn't write it down. So sorry, CMT, I disagree.
That's good. What's number three? Like what's like the top five on this list? All right.
So I'll start at five. So five was Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, in parentheses, The Angry American by Toby Keith.
That guy is such a sleazebag. That guy opened up restaurants and they all went under in a heartbeat and everyone lost their jobs. Like I had a friend who worked at a Toby Keith's,
mm-hmm.
and all the women had to wear like real small shorts and like tank tops, and like there was like a it was like another Hooters.
Yeah, basically. He's not a fave of mine. I don't particularly care for Toby Keith.
He's quite trash. Yeah. He is quite trash and a Trump supporter. So
yeah,
you know, like he's just so trash. He's like the Hulk Hogan of country music.
Yeah. So then there's four is Jesus Take the Wheel, like I said. Three is Whiskey Lullaby by Brad Paisley and Alison Krauss. I don't know how to say it. Krauss.
I will say I hate country music, but Brad Paisley is a really great musician.
Yeah.
I saw a clip of, I don't know if you saw a clip of them doing the Game of Thrones theme, but with a ton of guitarists.
Yeah, I have seen that.
You've seen that, and Brad Paisley like has the best solo,
yeah,
out of everyone.
Yeah, well, he's
like, he rips it.
Yeah,
I was like, holy shit, that guy is really good.
Yeah, he is. He like he's a good art, like he's a good musician, and you can't really deny that.
I can't deny that guy is really fucking good.
All right,
and he seems like a pretty chill dude. I'm just like, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
guy,
not too problematic.
He's not too bad, and he's pretty funny. I've seen him in like the Allstate commercials, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean,
he's pretty funny. Yeah, he's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's a funny dude. Maybe
he should do more acting. Yeah. It's not bad. It's not a bad list.
Yeah, I guess, so except that's, for number one. Yeah, like, that's like the top 40. And again, like a lot of those are early 2000s where it was very traditional, and that's a lot of country music that I personally didn't listen to a whole lot. Because I started listening to it when more of the pop and rock influences started to come in.
Pop.
So speaking of which, let's talk about that a little bit.
Oh, whoa. Lesson time.
Yeah. So
ring the school bell.
Oh my gosh. So like I said, like the 2000s was really where the genre started to change in a more pop country direction, because the beginning it was very country, very traditional influences. And it was when like Taylor Swift and Carrie Underwood and a few other artists started coming on the scene where pop country really started to become like a thing. Excuse me. Oh. So apparently 1 year a song called Murder on Music Row was a performance by Jackson and George Strait at a country award show. And it was widely believed by a lot of people to basically be a stab at the new artists who were coming in and changing the genre.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a lot of controversy over, like, more traditional artists not liking these new artists who were coming in. Like, some artists who really came in and were changing were Miranda Lambert was a big one. Rascal Flatts was huge. Like, everyone kind of thought they were basically going to be, like, a 90s boy band, but for 2000s country. But they were so lasting, and they kind of proved everyone wrong in that sense. Taylor Swift was a huge, huge, huge one. As you know, like, she really kind of brought the pop in, and she was so huge on the charts, on all charts, not just country.
Yeah.
Carrie Underwood was also one of the biggest artists in country in that decade, and she also was a huge reason that pop started to come into it.
Carrie Underwood is amazing to me because she didn't even win American Idol.
Yeah.
And she didn't even win.
She's easily one of the most successful artists who came off of that show. Like, top three, I would say.
I was blown away that she, like, blew the fuck up more than whoever won that year.
She really, really did. She
exploded. And because she was country.
Yeah.
And so finding your audience in that genre just catapults you to, like, everything.
Those competition shows were, like, such a huge part in catapulting country music in general into more mainstream music, because that's where artists who were often from small rural towns and didn't necessarily come from money like Taylor Swift did, that's where a lot of them were able to get noticed and able to get eyes on them. And, like, that was a huge part of how they were able to get successful. Because Miranda Lambert was actually also first noticed on a competition show on Nashville Star.
Yeah.
So, like, those things were, like, a really huge part as to how country music is what it is today. So, thanks, American Idol, you did this.
And it's also not even, like, them having to begin it, because I think it also started with, like, Faith Hill and Shania Twain.
Absolutely, yeah.
With a lot of that early stuff, because it was... Because, like, a lot of the shit coming from, like, the men's side, the women meant more for the pop route early on.
Yeah.
And that really laid down the groundwork for Carrie and Taylor to, like, come in later
Absolutely,
on.
Absolutely, yeah.
It was just this whole thing of, like, there had to be, nobody likes hearing this shit, but they'll listen to, like, I Feel Like a Woman all the fucking time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that is a theme for, like, so many early 2000s. Romance films,
right?
You know,
right?
It, yeah, it's, you know, it's a classic. It's got the country twang and the pop feel, and it's a lot of fun. It's super feel good. I don't know, it just feels really good to listen to,
right?
Instead of country fried chicken.
I think that song is fun.
Fucking song was
chicken fried. Yeah, well, one thing about the evolution, why it took so long, is, like, so pop has come into country multiple times in the past in different decades, but in the 90s, that's when it was much more traditional, stuck to those core values, and, like, there were a lot of artists kind of trying to integrate pop into country and other genre crossovers as well, but like I said, like, there was a controversy over it. Country is such a traditional genre that has, like I said, all that patriotism and you know, country lineage, core values, that kind of stuff that tends to be very slow to change, you know?
Very.
And so it took forever before those actually started not only taking hold, but actually became accepted among people who listen to country. And you still get people who are like, I only listen to Johnny Cash, you know? Like,
yeah.
You still get those people who refuse to acknowledge any kind of modern country, even though all of it's not necessarily bad. So there was a lot of struggle as, like, artists were trying to keep this balance between going with popular trends and get their music listened to while also maintaining those core values and, you know, country lineage, you know?
and that like in that core audience that like is very traditional.
Exactly.
Like it's a very hard genre to change.
Yeah, it's
or even add anything new to.
Right, because if you make it less traditional, all those like traditional diehard country fans don't want to listen to it because it's not traditional, but then it's still too country for the mainstream, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, to me, country music is just, it's like when people think that white people don't season their food, that's right. What country music is. And if you add a little seasoning, it like freaks them the fuck out, you know?
Right.
God forbid I add a little paprika to my right. chicken.
And I think like a lot of people see it as like, selling out, you know what I mean, where they're like yeah. you're ditching these like traditional values that we hold dear. I mean, you know how, just how people are about the Confederate flag, where like I'm not getting into that whole debate, but there are people who are like, oh, this is Southern, like this is me being prideful in my Southern values
on the Civil
right?
War in the 2000s.
Yeah, like I'm not getting into that, but you know how people
talk
are
about the Confederate
even
flag
just with that very controversial thing, they see it so often as like a like Southern core value thing and like a Southern pride yeah. thing and not necessarily as a racism thing, even though they are wrong. Not going to get into that.
Quite wrong.
But there are a lot of people who see it that way. So things like country becoming more modern, more pop, a lot of people see that as like selling out and losing the core values, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So it's a lot of that as well.
And that conversation is still going on now.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it still keeps going. And I mean, Kacey Musgraves is like very much is the one kind of also continuing that change to more pop country, but in this decade, because she actually did put out an album in the early 2000s that was like pretty country. But she, I've been listening to her. I've been listening to her for ages, and she's great. And she's one of those who's really kind of pushed the genre of country. And she often is not really accepted among more of the country crowd because she has been like pushing that and pulling, not only just pulling in the pop, but also singing about more controversial issues. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with her song "Follow Your Arrow" at all.
I've heard of the song.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to it, but she is very good. I've heard her sing.
Yeah.
She's quite fucking
good. She's great, yeah. And so Follow Your Arrow was kind of, you know, she got some criticism for that because, like, in it she basically is, like, telling people, like, kiss lots of boys or kiss lots of girls if you want to do that. Like, it doesn't matter because either way you're kind of going to get, you're going to, people are going to give you a hard time no matter what you do. So do what you want and do what makes you happy
yeah.
and do what's good for you.
And so she's not fucking wrong.
Exactly. And so she was saying things like that in a genre where, like, especially at the time, those weren't things that were ever talked about. Like, how often do you hear, like, anything gay related in country music? There is a song by Little Big Town called Girl Crush that is, like, in my opinion, super gay. But because the whole thing is like, oh, like, I have this girl crush on her. Like, I want to, like, wear her clothes and smell like her because that way, like, this guy will love me like he loves her. And it's like, no, no, no. That's gay.
No, that is
that's
a front.
That's gay.
That is a front.
Fight me about it.
Gay!
So, yeah, in my opinion, it's a very gay song, but the lyrics are saying it's just so that guy will love her. And I'm like, no, no, no. It's gay. Fight me. So yeah, things like that, you know, like it's a very slow genre to change, but it's getting there. And now, like, nowadays we're having these like hip hop crossovers, like with Old Town Road. And then, there's the song, The Get Up also, that is like one of those, dance challenges, not like challenge,
yeah.
but you know what I mean? It has like a dance to
yeah.
it. So now
yeah,
we're getting, like,
is.
A lot, like, they're starting to cross over, be a little more ambitious with the crossovers. And I, for one, am enjoying it. I think it's fun. I love a little bit of experimentation, bringing something
new.
No,
yeah, it is. It's quite interesting, man. It is a genre that is hard to change. It is.
Yeah.
It is, I don't know if I can find the metaphor for it. It's just, like, it's like trying to teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
It's really it.
It is, yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know, it's a very interesting thing to see evolve, because there's a lot of people coming or from that genre that are like evolving or incorporating those sounds into newer sounds, but still retaining like the same feel of a country song. It's very interesting to me. I still do not give a single shit about country music because I cannot.
And that's fine. You don't have to like a genre, you know?
No, yeah. I can totally respect it. There's so much work. There's a lot of tradition, like authenticity to it. But it's very hilarious to just always hear people sing about their trucks and dogs. And it's just, it's never that, like, that's all they have. Like, they don't have a 401k. You know, they just have their dog in their truck.
Right.
Or it's a very small thing, sir. You know, you should live out near New York or an urban area. You know, change the scenery. You know.
Yeah.
Don't wear flannel all the time.
Aw, but I like flannel.
No. I mean, I like flannel too. I'm always trying to find a good flannel, but it's really hard.
Yeah. Well, I get all mine in thrift stores, so.
It's a mood.
But pop wasn't the only genre that really kind of started to influence country, because rock music also started to get integrated a lot more, especially in the late 2000s. So there was a lot more of that as well, like rock guitar and like that kind of, and riffs and that kind of thing.
New metal.
Oh my god, can you imagine? I want a metal country crossover. That's all I want now.
Korn. Oh, Korn does a country album, but they're like, the name of the band is now a C.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, one thing about country that like I've always hated, not like always, but like since it's existed, I've hated, which really came up in like end of 2000s, early 2010s, was the rise of bro country. Bro country is really what I can't stand, and that's why, like, if you look at the country music I listen to, it is like largely female artists because of this bro country thing.
Bro country is so bad. Yeah. Bro country is, I just see a lot of tank tops and the buzz cuts and a lot of Oakleys being worn.
It's a lot just of visors. Like a lot of like lot of shows of masculinity and tailgating and beer and girls in bikinis and like that. And it just like, so, and like Luke Bryan and Florida Georgia Line were a huge, 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 huge part of that.
Yeah, bro country perpetuates rape culture. It's
awful.
It's a terrible thing.
Yeah, so this song didn't come out in the 2000s. It came out later on when like bro country was really, really huge. But it was a song called Girl in a Country Song. And like,
I've heard of this song.
Yeah, and I loved that song because I'm like, finally someone's like calling them out for like, you know, the way they treat women in these songs and in these music videos, and how they're basically just kind of like accessories, you know?
You know what it is? It's bro country trying to do what hip hop has always done in that fashion.
Hip hop was a huge influence in this, like, style. Not in, like, the music, but in the, you know, tone, I mean, guess.
The way hip hop, they do it, is still bad, but it doesn't sound as bad as in country music.
I think with hip hop, it's more widely accepted, but I don't think it's better. You know what I mean?
It's not better, it's just, it is widely accepted.
Yeah, it's more widely accepted than in country, because I think hip hop nowadays, like in this last, in like the 2010s,
it doesn't do it as
was
often.
More widely accepted than country as a genre.
Yes, 100%. Because you know why? It's fun. It's so much more fun.
Well, that's because 2010s was when bro country was like the thing. And so, yeah, obviously, that's when I stopped listening to country was early 2010s, because that's when bro country was huge. And I'm like, I don't want to listen to this anymore.
So many blue jeans. So many boots. So many Wolverine boots.
I will say one thing I really hate about myself, though, is that as much as I like, the logical part of my brain really doesn't like Florida Georgia Line, their songs are so catchy to me, and I hate myself for it. Not all of them, but there are a handful of them that, like...
We all love garbage sometimes.
Yeah, it's upsetting to me because I'm like, I don't want to like this, but then the song plays and I, like, can't help but, like, sing along because it's so catchy and it gets really stuck in my head and I hate myself for it.
I feel that.
Yeah.
It's a big mood.
So, all right, so to finish it off, I want to talk about just some of the significant artists in general in 2000s country music.
Lay it on me.
A lot of these we've already mentioned, but there are a few that we haven't yet that I felt should be mentioned. So, again, Miranda Lambert. I love her. She's one of my faves. I stand by her. Brad Paisley, who we discussed. So he was a lot more traditional. For a lot of the big artists in the 2000s, he was one of the more traditional ones for sure, but he did have rocking guitars. As this one article said. I don't know how to say his name. Dierks Bentley? I think it's Dierks Bentley.
I think you're correct.
I know a handful of songs by him. Honestly, I don't know a whole lot about him. But he was part of that pop country thing.
Yeah.
So
what about, what's his name? Keith Urban.
Keith Urban, yeah. So he's also on this list. And so he's actually known as like one of the best guitar players in the genre.
He's a really fucking good player.
Yeah, he is. And he
he's Australian. He's Australian.
Yeah,
I'm like, why did you fall in love with country?
And I do like a good handful of Keith Urban songs, I will say. I really love a lot of country. He did a lot of stuff. And he had more of a rock edge. So he's one of those people who like really had that rock influence kind of start to come in.
Yeah. Definitely.
So,
and he married Nicole Kidman.
There you go. So Gretchen Wilson, who is a self-proclaimed redneck woman...
She's most known for
her song Redneck Woman, so.
Yeah. I would assume so.
And then Toby Keith, who we mentioned, not a fan, but he was all over the charts in the 2000s.
As much of a trash person he is, he was very influential.
He was. And I hate him.
He was like the father of bro country.
Yeah. Obviously, Carrie motherfucking Underwood.
Woo!
Yep. That's all I have to say. Taylor Swift, again, we've been there, we discussed it. Kenny Chesney, who we haven't actually mentioned.
Kenny Chesney, wow.
So he was that name in a while. He was more like he actually did a lot of music in the 90s as well, and he was a lot more traditional then, but in the 2000s is when he really kind of started to experiment with other sounds.
Mainstream.
He experimented for a while with like an island Jimmy Buffett kind of style as well, which was interesting. So he was one who really kind of played around. Yeah. So he really kind of played around with stuff as well and went a different direction than a lot of the others did. So I also added a few honorable mentions that weren't on that official list that I found because Dixie Chicks wasn't on it, but I think it's also because they've been making country music for so long. But if we're talking about country, I'm going to talk about the Dixie Chicks and you can't stop me.
So, I'm not going to stop you.
Sugarland, of course. They were another who, as far as country artists, they got more country in the mainstream. Lady Antebellum, they made quite a few songs there that got big. Little Big Town, because I personally just love them. And the band Perry, also because I like them. They have that one song, If I Die Young. You probably know if you heard it. I got pretty big.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, but huge shout out to Carrie Underwood and the Dixie Chicks for being a huge part of my favorite subgenre of country music, which is women killing their husbands. I think it's a lot of fun. True. Goodbye Earl, one of my favorite songs. I know the entire song. I can sing it beginning to end without hearing the music. Great song.
Don't do it now because it's copyright.
I'm not going to. Also, Two Black Cadillacs. Do you know that song? It's a Carrie Underwood song. Yeah.
Yes,
that wasn't in the 2000s. Cadillacs. It was 2012, but still felt like I should mention it because it's a good one. So, I'm a huge fan of that subgenre. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it like kind of really helps counterbalance all the bro country.
100%.
Yeah, so I appreciate it at least. Especially you know with Goodbye Earl, because it wasn't like, oh, he cheated on me, so then I killed him. It's like, oh, no, like, he was horribly abusing, me. I tried getting, like, a restraining order, and it didn't work, and he put me in the hospital, and blah, blah, blah. So then we killed him. That makes sense. I think that's valid.
Wow.
Go Dixie Chicks. I love them. I stan. I'm going to make you do a whole episode on Dixie Chicks someday.
I can feel it coming this year that we'll... I think we will have to do it.
Is 2020 the year that Let's Talk About the 2000s goes country?
Goes country. I cannot believe this. Pull out your acoustic guitars and rhinestones. We are going full country.
I don't even like country music that much, but I do feel like I need to balance it out with you, so...
It's totally fair.
Yeah.
And it'll expand our audience to the Midwest and the South.
Yeah, Midwest. I can't fucking wait. Hit us up. What are your favorite country songs from the 2000s? Anyone? Slide into our Insta DMs.
Tell Catherine, don't tell me. I don't care. I don't fucking care. I fucking hate country music so much. And it's just like...
Yeah, but you like Faith Hill.
I do like Faith Hill. But someone... I feel like I've had this conversation with a person. It's just like that, you know, country music is fun. It's okay. And I'm just like, it's not. Okay. It's not. You know, when you hear this music and you try to pick a person who listens to it, you know the type of person I'm talking about.
Yeah. If it's someone who listens exclusively to country music, I'm like, oh, that's
this girl's name. It's girls named Mallory and Brittany that like are listening to the shit. It's just like
I once went to
Heather.
The beach with what's a really group white of country girls name? When I was in college, and we took along shut up. So we had to drive we drove like maybe 5 hours to get there to the beach, and the entire time they were playing country music, and like 99% of it was bro country, and I wanted to die. Because
I would
like
blow my brains
again,
out.
I do like country music, but I'm very picky, and I can't listen to it for that long because like I will get sick of it if it's the only thing I listen to. Sorry, give me a moment.
You know what? Oh yeah. In the meanwhile, I will tell people to go check out Halsey's new album.
There was a bug on my wall, and I went to go kill it, because it was, like, near my pillows, and I'm like, I don't want this bug getting in my bed. So I went to kill it, and then it fell into the pillows, but it was still alive, and then I kept trying to get it, but then it kept falling deeper, and then I eventually was able to find it, and I just picked it up with my hands and threw it on the floor, so.
There's nothing worse than trying to kill an insect on a soft surface.
Right, yeah, so that's why I just said screw it, and I just pinched it between my fingers. It was a tiny little bug, so... Whatever. I'm going to go wash my hands later.
It just really brings out the country girl in you, just killing bugs.
That's me.
I like to kill these bugs out here.
I'm a bug killer from way back. Y'all ever need someone to kill a horse fly? Y'all call me down here.
Catherine the Exterminator.
Some days I wonder, I'm like, now that I'm in Georgia, am I going to get a country accent?
No.
What would you do if I showed up to the podcast one day and had a really thick southern accent?
So we're going
to
talk about 2000s today.
All right, y'all. Let's go talk about the 2000s.
I feel like you would need to put a lot of butter in your cooking all the fucking time.
Oh, I already do. The way my father raised me. No, but if you ever hear me sing along to Goodbye Earl by the Dixie Chicks, the southern really comes out.
I don't like that. It's gross. Wow, this is a long episode about country.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much done, so unless you have anything to add,
no.
I'm getting hungry, so...
No. Yeah, I gotta hit the grocery store. Yeah,
so do I.
So, two things before we leave. I forgot to mention this in our intro. The coronavirus. I just got an email from work about taking care of yourself at work, and there's an email. It's just like, if anyone's traveled to China, especially the Wuhan region, you know... I kind of skimmed it. It was a long email. And apparently at my job, they bought us masks. So I will now be seeing people at work wearing a fucking mask.
Well, you know, I heard from someone I know who is a nurse that apparently those masks only work for 10 or 15 minutes until, like, your breath basically, like, hydrates the mask. And then after that, it's useless. So have fun.
Good to know. So next week's episode, I have not... talked about this with you because the idea came to me recently.
Oh boy, did it come to you in a dream?
No, I think I was having a conversation with somebody. at work. And so this is not music related. It does incorporate some artists in it. And so I want you to take three guesses on what it is. Something 2000s related, like very 2000s. Hint, it's
a show. I'm trying to think of something we haven't already talked about.
It's a show. We have not talked about this at all.
Oh, God. I don't know. Like, what kind of show?
A reality show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Real World, maybe?
No.
No.
We should, though. That's a good one.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
No.
I don't know. I don't know what years right. things started.
Just Ladies tell and me. Gentlemen, I think this is a long time coming, and I didn't realize this till like, at work. Next episode, we are going to talk about Punk'd.
Oh, God. Jesus, I forgot about Punk'd.
We're going to talk about Punk'd. One of the greatest shows. Ashton Kutcher is a genius.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Punk'd. So your homework is to go watch Punk'd.
I'm not going to do that.
There's a lot of good pranks, though.
I have been watching Jersey Shore still, so.
Wow. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the new season because it's all about Mike and his leaving jail.
Oh, jeez.
And how he's, you know, still, he lost weight and he's still clean. So I'm like, I would definitely watch that. I want to hear some jail stories.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're going to talk about Punk'd. Ashton Kutcher's Punk'd. You know, it's going to be a ride.
Great.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So, review and subscribe.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Review, subscribe. Thanks. Thanks to Blue Apron.
Disclaimer, we are not sponsored by Blue Apron. But if Blue Apron, if you're interested,
yo,
let me know.
I will take those meals.
So much.
Hook it up. Use our code. Oh my God. Use Audible code now. All right. We are out of here.
Cool.
We are going to go down to that old country road.
Till we can't no more.
That's right. Bye.
Bye, guys.
What are you doing?
Fuck me. Oh, shit.
What are you doing?
There's a bug.
There was a bug in your bed? Ah! Oh my God. Do not delete this. This is prime. Do not delete this. Did you kill it?